You're listening to the Bold Apologia podcast. Here you can expect to find real conversation and dialogue centralized around the purpose for sharing the hope of Jesus Christ in light of theology, apologetics, and culture. We hope and believe this episode will add confidence to your faith by equipping you with boldness to share the good news of the gospel. And now, your host, Adam Parker.
Hello and welcome to the Bold Apologia podcast. My name is Adam Parker. I'm your host. In this podcast, my goal is to boldly proclaim the truth of the Christian faith. And in this particular episode, I will be discussing what I consider to be a great argument for the existence of God from a Christian perspective. That argument is the Kalam cosmological argument, and it is a great argument. In this episode, I will discuss the definition and formulation of this argument, highlighting the importance of this argument in Christian apologetics, covering the historical background of the argument, particularly its origins and development. Furthermore, I will give a defense of the argument, covering a number of philosophical and scientific defenses of the argument and debunking common objections and refutations of the argument. I'll also take a look at both the scriptural basis for this argument as well as the theological implications of this argument before concluding the podcast. Now, I have enjoyed having a number of guests on this year, and this month I haven't been able to get anyone new on, but that's okay because I have what I consider to be a very exciting podcast for you, all of my listeners, to listen to. I hope to take more deep dives into some of these various arguments, such as this argument that I'm going over, the Kalam cosmological argument. Now, let me give a brief context to the Kalam cosmological argument. The Kalam cosmological argument is a philosophical argument for the existence of God. Its emergence as a powerful argument for the existence of God has both an ancient context and, thanks to the great apologist William Lane Craig, who popularized it in the modern context, it also now has a contemporary context as well. As a result, the Kalam cosmological argument provides a robust foundation for theistic belief. The term Kalam actually comes from the Arabic word for speech or discourse, and it refers to Islamic scholastic theology. In Islamic theology, scholars engaged in rational discourse about the nature of God and the universe, similar to Christian philosophers. Now, I must note that though the one who first penned the Kalam cosmological argument was an Islamic theologian, this does not in any way discredit the argument. Islam is wrong about a lot of things, trust me, but that doesn't mean an adherent to Islam cannot discover something so sound as this Kalam cosmological argument that we will be getting into. And let me give a little bit of a backstory on this man who discovered the Kalam cosmological argument. The originator of this argument was Abu Hamid Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Ghazali al-Tusi al-Shafi'i. Now that was a mouthful. So for practical purposes, I will refer to him as Al-Ghazali, as many others do. And as I stated, he was an Islamic theologian, but was so much more than just that. Al-Ghazali was a man with an interesting story who went from being a renowned Islamic scholar to a mystic seeking deeper spiritual truth. At the end of his life, he was a towering figure in Islamic history who left an indelible mark not only in the Islamic world, but by proxy, he has impacted the realm of philosophy to this day because his argument argues against the idea that the world is eternal, emphasizing that the universe must have had a beginning and a cause, William Lane Craig, who's a Christian apologist and philosopher whom I respect greatly, made Al-Ghazali's argument even more popular in the contemporary context by revitalizing it and integrating contemporary scientific discoveries to support its premises. So with that contextual background, I'd like to jump into the formulation of the argument. And so the argument goes like this. There's two premises and a conclusion. Premise one is everything that begins to exist has a cause. Premise two is the universe began to exist. And then the conclusion is, therefore, the universe has a cause. Now, I'm sure you're a little confused as to why these three short premises are so profound. So let's dig right into them to get a little bit more gold out of this argument. First, premise one, that everything begins to exist has a cause. This premise is based on the principle of causality, which states that every effect must have a cause. So in everyday experience, we observe that things do not come into existence without a cause. For example, a building requires a builder, a painting requires a painter, and so on. Now, this is really significant because philosophically, denying the principle of causality would undermine rational inquiry and scientific investigation by making it impossible to predict or explain phenomena, leading to a chaotic and unpredictable reality. Logical consistency and coherency would be completely lost as a result, as events could occur without any reason, creating absurdities and contradictions. This would paralyze the acquisition of knowledge and render scientific experimentation and technological advancements meaningless. So it must be held intact, which the Kalam cosmological argument does very well. That brings us to the next premise. Premise two, the universe began to exist. This premise asserts that the universe is not eternal, but had a beginning. This can be supported by both philosophical arguments and scientific evidence. Let's take a look at some philosophical arguments. First, I want to talk about the impossibility of an actual infinite. The impossibility of an actual infinite matters to premise two because it suggests that an infinite regress of past events is impossible, right? Because it began to exist. Therefore, it couldn't possibly have an infinite regress of past events because there was a beginning. So you may be wondering what an infinite regress of past events even is, and I'll explain that. In this case of the origin of the universe, it means that if you keep going back in time, you would never reach a starting point because there would always be another event before it. And so in simple terms, it's like having a line of dominoes stretch back forever with no first domino to start the chain reaction. So if the universe did not have a beginning, it would mean that an infinite number of events had to occur before reaching the present moment, which leads to logical paradoxes and contradictions. One of those that really shows that is Hilbert's hotel. And this is an example of why an actual infinite, as it pertains to premise two, is logically contradictory. And it's shown in this example that we call Hilbert's hotel. Hilbert's hotel is a thought experiment that illustrates the paradoxes of an actual infinite. So imagine a hotel with an infinite number of rooms, all of which were occupied. If a new guest arrives, the hotel can accommodate them by moving the guest in room one to room two, the guest in room two to room three, and so on, freeing up room one. And this shows that an infinite set can accommodate more elements without running out of space, demonstrating the counterintuitive and paradoxical nature of actual events, because with an infinite number of rooms, Hilbert's hotel can always add more guests without ever being full, completely defying our intuitive understanding of occupancy and capacity. And because it completely defies our understanding of occupancy and capacity, we must then conclude that therefore the universe must have a finite past rather than an infinite past, which shows that it had a beginning and thus a cause for its existence. Now, those are some philosophical arguments, but there's also some scientific evidence to take a look at. One of those is the Big Bang Theory. Modern cosmology indicates, through the discovery of the Big Bang Theory, by the way, which was discovered by a Catholic priest, that the universe expanded from a singularity approximately 13.8 billion years ago. Regardless of your ideas about the Big Bang Theory, this suggests that the universe had a finite beginning. Whether you believe the universe is 7,000 years old or 13.8 billion years old, the main premise of the Big Bang Theory, which is considered scientific in the scientific community, is that the universe had a beginning. Now, that's not the only thing. If we also take a look at the second law of thermodynamics, we also see something else that is also very important. This law states that the amount of unstable, usable energy in a closed system decreases over time. If the universe were infinitely old, it would already have reached a state of maximum entropy, which it hasn't. There's still plenty of energy in the universe. This further adds damage to any postulation that there is an infinite regress of past events to refute premise two. And so those are two really important scientific evidences for the Kalam cosmological argument and its premises. This then takes us to the conclusion that, therefore, the universe has a cause. Now, given that everything that begins to exist has a cause, and the universe began to exist, it logically follows that the universe must have a cause. This leads us as Christians to say this cause of the universe must be transcendent, existing outside of time and space, and possesses immense power because it created the universe from nothing, which means it must be beyond and independent of the physical realm and capable of initiating all of existence. Now, if you're a Christian listening to this, such a description fits the concept of God as described by our faith and in our scriptures. Now, with that said, it's important to take note of some different objections that skeptics may have to this argument. So I'm going to take a look at some refutations to some atheistic objections. First, an objection that the atheist may make is that the universe could come into existence without a cause. Now, my response is quite simple to this, because this challenges that very important principle of causality, which is foundational to both everyday experience and scientific practice. Now, a lot of atheists, they're like, we're so scientific. Well, if you're so scientific, you have to respect the principle of causality, because it is based on that particular principle that any scientific finding has any meaning whatsoever. Events occurring without a cause would lead to a chaotic and unpredictable universe, undermining rational inquiry, especially science. This then brings us to atheist objection number two. Quantum mechanics allows for events to occur without definite causes. And so here's the response to that. While quantum mechanics describes events at the subatomic level as probabilistic, it does not imply that these events are uncaused. They occur within a framework of physical laws and conditions, suggesting underlying causes, even if they're not deterministically predictable. So that objection just doesn't work either. This then brings me to objection number three that I would like to respond to. And that objection is that an infinite regress of causes is possible. And so my response to that is really that an actual infinite regress of past events is metaphysically impossible due to the paradoxes that it creates, such as those illustrated by Hilbert's hotel that I just went through. Additionally, the concept of an infinite past isn't even supported by current scientific understanding of the universe's origins, evidenced by the Big Bang Theory and the second law of thermodynamics. So these objections, in my opinion, are found to be actually quite weak and unconvincing. With that said, the Kalam cosmological argument aligns with several biblical passages that affirm the universe's beginning and its creation by God. And that's what makes this argument so wonderful. If we were to take a look at verses like Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," it immediately, this verse in particular, explicitly states that the universe had a beginning and was brought into existence by God. Then there's verses like Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9, where it says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Again, these few verses here emphasize God's creative power and the divine origin of the universe. Then there's John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." This is speaking of Jesus, who is described as the Word from the very beginning. And so this affirms that everything that exists was brought into being through God's creative action. And if we were to take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, it says, "In him," now this is about Jesus again, "all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And so this highlights, in this case, Jesus' pre-existence and sustaining power over all creation. Finally, I'd like to take a look at Romans 1:20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." This verse in particular supports the idea that the existence and nature of God can be inferred from the created world. Because when we look at the created world and we see that it had a beginning, when we look at scientific proofs which come from the study of the created world, like the second law of thermodynamics, which truly supports the fact that the universe had a beginning, or if we were to look at the Big Bang Theory, which is supported by looking and really studying this world, we see that there was a beginning, and it further backs up the fact that God created the universe. Furthermore, I just want to say there are some really cool theological implications for this. The Kalam cosmological argument has really significant implications for us as Christians. And really specifically, it's the doctrine of ex nihilo. Ex nihilo is a Latin phrase meaning out of nothing. And it's used to describe the concept of creation without any pre-existing materials. And this argument that we just talked about supports the doctrine that God created the universe out of nothing, which is incredible. It highlights his omnipotence and his sovereignty, because if the universe had a beginning, there must have been a time where there was no universe. And if in the universe, everything is contained, what does that mean? Well, it means that at one point, there was no thing, nothing. And that really backs up what Scripture says about God, that everything was created out of nothing, by Him, and for Him, and through Him. And that is incredible. I also believe that this argument provides a rational foundation for belief in God. This argument, the Kalam cosmological argument, provides a rational basis for belief in a creator, aligning with the biblical teaching that God's existence and attributes can be understood through His creation, as Romans chapter 1, verse 20 indicates. And finally, something I love about this argument is that it's really great for engaging with skeptics and seekers. This argument equips Christians, us, with a logical and evidence-based tool for engaging with skeptics, fostering meaningful conversations about the existence of God, and it enables us to witness to skeptics in a deep and thoughtful way, allowing us the opportunity to then tie the Kalam cosmological argument to Romans chapter 1, which in that very chapter, the Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And that's Romans 1:16. You can draw a beautiful tie-in, a beautiful parallel to the gospel in using the Kalam cosmological argument in our witness to those who don't know Christ. With that said, I really appreciate those of you who have tuned into this podcast. I appreciate that you have taken time to listen to it all the way to the end. The Kalam cosmological argument is a powerful and effective tool for Christian apologetics, and I just love this argument. It not only aligns with biblical teaching, but it also provides a compelling, rational basis for belief in a creator. And so by understanding and articulating this argument, I think Christians can confidently engage with skeptics and seekers, pointing them to the existence and nature of God. I'm so thankful that you all have tuned into this podcast and listened to this episode. I hope to do more podcasts like this, just shorter, brief monologues talking about different arguments for the existence of God. I believe that this will be a great tool for anyone who hopes to engage skeptics on this sort of level. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. I'll see you in the next one. I'm hoping to have a guest. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Bold Apologia podcast. To find out more about Adam Parker's projects, writings, or guest podcast episodes, visit his website at www.boldapologia.com. There you can get more information regarding Adam's works, contact him to be a guest on your show, or leave him a comment for Q&A. Until next time, thank you and God bless. We'll be right back.